Welcome to UBU Pod. Here you'll meet incredible people who tell us about their rich and interesting lives, of being visible, of working through challenges, and of coming out the other side. There's so much power in people's stories, and as a curious person, I love finding out how people tick. I'm your host, Megan Hamilton. I'm a speaking, visibility, and confidence coach, and I help you be you. Welcome to another episode of UBU Pod. I am so excited to have Liz Worth here. Liz is a Toronto-based tarot reader. She is the author of 7 books, including The Power of Tarot and Going Beyond the Little White Book, a contemporary guide to tarot. Her writing has appeared in Flair magazine, Refinery 29, Chatelaine, The Globe and Mail, and more. She runs an online tarot school that welcomes students from around the world, and you can reach her at www.lizworth.com. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here too. I was trying to remember how I first came to know about you, because I think I've been following you for a while. And I think it's from, you were a guest spread for Biddy Tarot. Does that sound about right? Yeah. Which is a huge tarot platform.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember really enjoying the spreads, because you've done a few of them.
I have.
So I wonder, let's just dive into tarot and how you got started, your origins, and how you practice.
Yeah. Thank you. I would say I had 2 entry points into tarot. When I was growing up, my mom was really interested in psychic readings and things like that. She used to have parties and she would hire psychics to come over and do group readings.
Really?
That's so cool. Yeah. And she would record them on a cassette tape, because that was back in the day what we had, right? and then she would let me listen to them later. So I would hear everybody's readings and predictions and things. And, you know, every once in a while she'd say, you know, when I was having you, a psychic told me this about you or that about you. And so I always just grew up with this in my environment. And I had friends who were raised in very strict religious households, and they would never, ever have been allowed to explore these things or even talk about them or think about them. But I had the total opposite experience where, you know, my mom didn't do readings herself. She never studied any of these things on her own. She just really enjoyed them. So I was always encouraged to read my horoscope. And if there was a book at the library that I wanted to take out about mythology or witchcraft, my parents didn't say anything. I was allowed to do those things, right? They just kind of left me up to my own curiosity. And so I always had a sense of normalcy around things like tarot and divination and intuitive work. And I grew up believing in these things too. You know, I believe that there are other ways to find things out than sometimes the linear or obvious ways. So when I was 13, I was at the grocery store with my parents, and there was a little book in the impulse aisle called The Little Book of Fortune Telling, and my parents let me buy it. And there was a chapter
in there. I know
that
book.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have my original copy. I did replace it a few years ago, thanks to eBay. But there was a chapter in there about reading playing cards. And I had a whole summer with nothing to do. And I was a latchkey kid, so I was just, again, left on my own. So I studied this chapter all summer and taught myself how to read playing cards. Now, I don't think I was very good. I was really obviously showing an interest in card reading, because I think it's a really interesting thing to do, right? And there are lots of things that we can read, but for some reason, card reading really appeals to me and has always kind of spoken to me. So a few years after that, I got a tarot deck, but I was still only a teenager, and I didn't really understand or appreciate the patience that actually goes into tarot. You know, I didn't understand that it's actually a skill. I thought that if you had a deck, you know, you'll have some kind of instantaneous vision, or that something will magically happen, right? But I didn't know how to put those pieces together. And I think my expectations were a little bit overblown at the time. And I was still really just a kid. So I was exploring my spirituality, but I didn't really know what was required of me. I didn't know how to show up for it. So I eventually put that stuff to the side, and I grew up a little bit, and I went off and started a career when I was an adult, and was really actively pursuing a career in journalism. And I forgot all about tarot and that part of my spirituality for a long time. And then I published my first book, and it was a really intense project. It was a really intense research project that I had done. And I thought it was going to be the beginning of my life. And in some ways it was, and in other ways it wasn't at all. And I was really lost after it came out, and I was looking for something and I didn't really know. I kind of like walk around and really just kind of think to myself, I'm looking for something, but I don't know what it is. I'm missing something. And I went to an astrologer who I really enjoyed at the time, Phil Booth, who is in Toronto. He's amazing. And, he started talking about tarot just kind of randomly. You know, he said, I have clients who are like you. And he's like, they're really into tarot. Are you into tarot? And it was just such a casual comment, but it reminded me of things that I had left behind. And I was like, wow, I haven't thought about tarot or card reading in a long time. And I was like, I should get back into that, because that was a lot of fun. And so it's him just saying that, you know, he wasn't telling me, he wasn't making some kind of prediction that I should go out and be a tarot reader, right? Sometimes when I tell that story, people think that that's what I'm saying. He wasn't. It was just a very kind of passing comment. But it inspired me to go out and get a tarot deck and really commit to learning tarot the second time around, right? Because I had a bit more maturity at that time, and I was really looking for something too. And I think it was just, it re-entered my life at the right time when I needed something to lose myself in a little bit. You know, the things that I had put a lot of energy into were not really growing or loving me back the way I thought they would.
Yeah. Oh, right? I love that. Loving me back. I love that. That's really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was really how it started. And, you know, after that, after tarot came back into my life, I just got really into it, you know, once I started, I just more and more, inspiration came around what I wanted to do with the cards, and what I wanted to learn, and what I wanted to be able to do with tarot in terms of being able to read for other people, and questions I wanted to be able to answer. And so I just kept pushing myself to get better and better and really understand at that time. And I never looked back.
I love this because I resonate with it quite a bit. I used playing cards to get myself to sleep when I was a teenager. And I don't even know if I knew about tarot. I was definitely into crystals, and I was into, I would go to this psychic fair in Toronto, and it would come, and, you know, like really curious about people reading auras with cameras and all of that stuff, and really, really into like playing with intuition and psychic abilities and fooling around with my friends with stuff like that. But what I didn't make the connection with until now, you know, I'm in my late 40s now. I got a tarot deck when I was in my early 20s, and I would always bring it out only in times of real difficulty in my life, where I was really struggling and had no idea how to handle my emotional state or what was happening in my life. And I just wanted something to be an anchor or to help guide me. And I would use the book that came with my deck. And it was a really weird version of the Rider-Waite-Smith. It was like cut off, and the colors were not the same, like not the proper colors. And I would find that when I would sort of look it up online, I'd be like, oh, this is not red. This is, you know, yellow or something like that. Anyway, and the reconnection to it. And it's funny because I interviewed Jericho Mandeber. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a, yeah. So she she had a similar story where she was like accumulating debts in her teen years, but she was so afraid of them. Something called her to keep getting them, but she kept them in this bag under her bed because she was afraid of, you know, as the, like, there's always sort of like a fear of, and I think as she mentioned it, like sort of like a Ouija board, like, what is this? And I don't want to like open up the gates or something like that. Right. But then refinding it later, again, as you say, when you're more mature, and then it becomes not just a spiritual practice, but a tool that you use sort of in your life. And for you, certainly a career. I'd love to know when you started reading for other people and how you started building your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it took me a long time. I'm always upfront with that because there's a lot of stories out there about, you know, in 6 weeks, you can make six figures doing X, Y, and Z, yeah. Right? Especially, you know, our online culture right now really wants people to believe that things move so quickly. I don't move that fast. It was about a 7-year process from when I had that astrology reading and I got that tarot deck again. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this right. So it's 7 years from deciding I was going to learn tarot properly into starting to charge for readings. But long because it was never my intention really to do this as a career. My intention was always that I was a writer. I have a journalism background. I also spent 8 years in PR, communications and marketing in the nonprofit industry. So that was like my day job as a writer, right? Which a lot of people fall into when they have things like journalism backgrounds. You know, I graduated journalism school at a really bad time because the industry was laying off so many people and freelance budgets were not what they used to be. So, you know, I kind of had this whole career planned out for myself and I was writing a lot and really active in other ways as a writer. I was doing a lot of performance poetry. You know, I would go to other cities and read with other poets and authors and things like that. So it's really quite busy as a writer. And that's, you know, that's still very much a part of my life.
You've written 7 books.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah. You know, once you're a writer, you know, I don't think that there's really, you don't stop being a writer. I think that's common for a lot of authors is, you know, you're always seeing stories and always seeing things to say, but that part of my career just manifested a bit differently, right? Being an author and creating in that way, but it's also allowed me to say a lot about tarot too. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of good crossover there, but in terms of, being a full-time tarot reader and having a tarot business, you know, that wasn't my intention when I started. I really just wanted to learn how to read tarot. And I wanted to be able to read tarot for other people because I had had tarot readings and I found them really helpful. And I thought, you know, this is a really interesting thing to be able to do for other people. So my intention was really just to get good enough at tarot to be able to do that, right? I wanted to just be able to, yeah, to kind of say, yeah, I can give you a reading and I can tell you something from these cards. And that was my goal. And so how I started to work towards that was not, you know, I wasn't just studying tarot, but I would do a lot of practice readings with my friends. You know, I had a small following as a writer already. So I would go on Twitter and I would say, hey, I'm learning tarot. Does anybody want a practice reading? And I would tell them, you know, I'm like, it's not going to be really good, right? Because I'm still learning, but I just really wanted the practice because I wanted that experience of seeing, you know, what's sticking, right? What is sticking when I study the cards and when I learn on my own versus when I sit down and try to do this for someone, right? I really wanted that hands-on learning. So that was how I started reading for other people, was really letting, you know, asking them if I could practice and allowing them in a lot of ways to be my teachers with tarot. And I know that that can be a hard thing to do sometimes because we often want to get paid for our work right away. Mm. But I took the long road with that. And I'm glad I did, because when I decided that I was going to start my business, I was really, really, really ready. You know, I really knew that I had the skills because I had amassed so much practice. I, you know, at that point when I started my business, I was reading tarot at a lot of parties that friends were having. I had done parties at book launches and things like that too. So, you know, just like I'd be in a room full of people and I'd be the tarot reader in the corner sometimes. And all of that I was just doing to get the experience, right? But I, you know, by the time I started my business, I had probably read for at least 100 people. So it's just, you know, a lot of experience to have, right? And a lot of them had been strangers up until that point too. You know, I grew out of reading just for my friends, and I had put myself in situations where I'd have to read for people I'd never met before, mm-hmm. on the fly, on the spot. And so I learned a lot from those experiences, and that was how my business began in some ways. And in other ways, you know, in terms of why did I start it? How did I come to that decision? You know, I was reading at a party one night for a friend. A friend had released her first novel, and she'd asked me if I would read tarot at her launch party. And I was there and I was reading cards all night, and I was on my way home, and I was working at a national nonprofit, and I was desperately unhappy. Horribly unhappy. And I'd been there for 5 years. I was coming up to my 5-year anniversary. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't want to be in this job to see that anniversary, because I will have seen that as a sign that I'm truly stuck. And so, but I wasn't sure what else I would do. Right. I really did feel kind of tied to that 9-to-5 job, which is a common experience for a lot of us.
And oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, it's really hard. I always tell people it's hard to quit a job, right? People come for tarot readings and they're like, how do I get out of this career? It's hard to let it go. So, mm-hmm. and I was in that position, and especially
in the nonprofit world, because I come from that world too. I come from mm-hmm. theater and the arts. Mm. The money mindset stuff is so bananas. And we're almost like trained to feel like we need to stay in this, you know, like you're shitty if you're asking for more money, or like, we're not usually getting paid a lot of money in a not-for-profit. And the amount of work that you do is not equal to what you're getting paid for. And so the idea of leaving that, it feels like almost extra scarier because of that world and how it sort of sets us up mentally to go forward. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I had wanted this job, you know, when I had applied for the job I was in at the time, I wanted it. It was the only job I had applied for because I wanted to work at that specific organization.
Right.
And I got that job. And that was, again, it's a hard thing to walk away from when you get what you want. And then you realize it's actually not what you need. It's a hard thing to do. And I had been there for a long time, and I really did care about the work the organization was doing, but yeah, I was not in a good place mentally or emotionally. And I was walking home from this party, and this, you know, this thought came into my mind that it's just so clearly, and it just said, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And there had been other signs leading up to that year. You know, I had had some dreams where I was, you know, being shown that there would be a new opening for me, that something else was going to come up in terms of my work and the direction of my life. And so when I had this thought come in, it was just so clear and it felt so right that I thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to do tarot. But then I panicked because I thought, I am so burned out from this day job that I have. I have no idea how I'm going to actually build a business. You know, it was one thing to do tarot for fun on the side, right? As a hobby, but it's another to build mm-hmm. a business. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have it in me to focus on my writing, build a business, and go to work for 40 hours a week. Right. So I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I set an intention on a new moon, and I just kind of put it out there. I said, I don't know how I'm going to figure this out, but I promised to myself that I'll figure out how to start a tarot business and how to make this into something. And then a month later, almost to the day, it was a new moon in Gemini. And then a few days before the new moon in Cancer. So just like almost a full moon cycle, I got laid off from my job.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, I got, you know, my boss said, I have to talk to you for a second. You know, we walked into the boardroom. I was like, this is it. They're going to let me go.
Were you excited?
Yeah. He was, you know, my boss was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm ready to go. Like,
you're busting at the champagne. Like, it's just, totally okay.
I was like, don't even worry about it. I'll sign the papers. You know, I got a little severance package, which worked out really well because it gave me a few months, you know, a few months of a cushion so that I could focus on building this business. But again, that's not a typical story. I'm not saying that this is going to happen to everybody. It happened to be really well-timed and lucky for me that I could do that. But once, you know, once I left that job, I deleted my resume. I said, I have to really focus on this because if I'm going to build this business, I need to be all in. I'm not going to spend time going back to what I'm trying to get away from anymore. So that was really how it started. It was a long journey and in some ways organic, and other ways intentional, right? Everyone gets here differently, but that's what happened to me. Yeah.
Oh, I love those moments in your life where you set an intention, but you're a little bit afraid to sort of make the move. And then the universe steps in and it's like, here you go. I remember once I had a basement apartment and I had become so depressed in it. And it was so bad for me living underground. And I really wanted to get out, but it was such a good price. And I didn't, you know, Toronto apartment prices. I don't even know what they are now, but I can't even imagine. And I went away for the weekend and I came back and my apartment had flooded and like I had to leave. And I was like, okay, I gotcha. And it was the same actually with leaving my recent job and going full-time with my business. There was something that happened that sort of triggered that I'd wanted to leave for quite a long time and something happened. And I was like, okay, this is what needed to happen for me to finally like let it go and move on to the next thing. So I love that. I also love that you deleted your resume, right? Like if that's not an intentional, you know, creating space for something, I don't know what is, right? That's a bold move.
Yeah, it freaks people out sometimes when I say that, you know, it's very uncomfortable to delete it. But I just decided, you know, I thought even if this business doesn't work, I'm just not going back. Like I'm not cut out for 9 to 5. I'm really not cut out to work in an office. I hate all the things they do there, like potlucks and birthday cake in the boardroom and stuff. Just like, I am not... People, if someone enjoys that, that's fine. I'm, you know, I'm not going to begrudge them that, but I'm like, I'm just so not there.
It wasn't your scene. No. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Hey, it's Megan. I wanted to make sure that I let you know about my recently revamped course, Digging Up Your Roots, Using Tarot for Shadow Work. Digging Up Your Roots is a 4-week self-led and self-contained online course that combines shadow work, tarot, and speaking training to help you face your fears and develop a deeper relationship with yourself. You'll receive my full speaking training, an introduction to tarot, no deck needed, as well as an in-depth look at shadow work with lots of journal prompts and exercises. This course will free you from what's been keeping you back. And from now until October 20th, 2021, each purchase of Digging Up Your Roots comes with a bonus tarot reading from me, plus access to 2 Zoom group shadow work sessions. Head over to ubuskills.com to learn more and sign up.
So now I'd love to talk to you about, because this is something that is constantly switching for me, tarot and, you know, intuition, psychic abilities, because when I first started using tarot, I was adamant that it was all just intuitive. And, you know, you talked about storytelling and that had been such a big part of early, tarot school, I guess, for me was this is, I'm looking at cards. They are so full of imagery. And again, for me, it's the Rider-Waite-Smith deck is sort of my home base in terms of what I use and the imagery that it invokes for me and all of the symbolism. And I had a book that I was using and I can't even tell you what it was. It was the one that came with the deck. And then I got Rachel Pollack's book, The 78 Degrees of Wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me, although I found that reversal was a little bit too harsh for me at the time. So I was mm-hmm. like, well, I'm just going to come up with my own ideas for reversals. And I know you don't read reversals. But I wanted to talk about the connection between tarot and spirituality, because for me, that has evolved. And I think for me, it was my own comfort levels of being truly honest with myself about what I really thought was going on, because I didn't want people to think that I was bananas when I would say, yeah, I'm using like my psychic intuition with tarot. Like I was really afraid of that, but I was comfortable sort of talking about tarot as a tool. And now that has shifted because, and I also realized that the more I embraced that, the more I actually felt the connections and the intuitive hits or whatever coming to me more easily, and that I trusted them and sort of like went with that. And then that opened up a whole other level of connection with whatever's happening. That might be really vague, but I'd love to know, like, do you feel that you are psychically reading the cards? Like, how do you feel about, yeah, it's a hard question.
It's such a big discussion. You know, we could probably spend hours talking about it and never really have an answer mm-hmm. because part of me wants to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Part of me also knows that's not a satisfying answer, and it's not also realistic because I have a lot of answers on what I believe tarot is and what happens when we read it. But there is something to it that brings up information that I still cannot explain. Mm-hmm. So that's why my first answer is I don't know. These days,
I think that's legit too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You cannot know fine. How to talk about something, but you can understand it in a different way or yes. believe it.
And I think that goes back to also, you know, the need to remember that tarot is not a linear tool, right? So, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, one thing that I talk about in my book, The Power of Tarot, is that one of the reasons why it feels like it's so hard to learn is because we are looking at images when we're reading cards, and we're trying to make sense of symbols and pictures and artwork. And it's a different language. Mm-hmm. Our comfort zone is looking at text, right? So that's why it's really common and natural for a new tarot reader, or sometimes even people who've been reading tarot for years, right? To look at a card, think, I don't know what to make of this picture. I'm going to reach for that book, that guidebook, because the guidebook will tell me, right? The text is the comfort zone. So tarot is funny like that, because really we are looking at this deck of cards or any type of cards, right? Even if you're reading playing cards or anything else, and you're trying to make sense of what you're seeing, but it's not in the same language that you're used to speaking. So that's where the skill of tarot comes in, right? Is really actually seeing it. And how I tend to talk about it most these days is that tarot is a language, is to see it that way and to say, okay, there's information here. It's telling me something, but my job is to learn how to read it the way I might learn how to read something if I was learning how to understand Italian or French or Spanish or whatever yeah. else, right?
Like a translator.
Yes, exactly. There's data, there's information. There's a lot of information in tarot cards, but
yeah,
it does take time to learn. How do you actually figure out what are those cards saying and how do we read them so that we can then translate them back into our own words and make sense of them, and not only translate them, but create whole sentences, pieces of advice, right? Find that data. So
storylines. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But when we look at cards, for me, tarot is also very contextual. So it's based off of a question, or it's based off of a position that you're using in a tarot spread. Mm-hmm. Cards on their own can mean anything and they can mean nothing. And in some ways they do mean nothing. And I don't mean for that to sound dismissive. I know someone's out there going, oh my God, I can't believe she just said that. Tarot is so meaningful. And it is meaningful, but it also means nothing because it is just a set of pictures. It is just a deck of cards. And it doesn't have meaning until we start to impose meaning on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things get a little bit tricky for me in figuring out, you know, where does the intuitive stuff come in? Because sometimes, you know, I've done readings for people and I'll look at certain cards and I know that those cards can go in so many different directions. Sometimes I'm reading for people who have no question. They're just like, I don't know, just tell me something. Tell me what's coming up, right? I don't know what I want. I just want a reading. We've all had these questions, right? These queries. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and, you know, I could go in 10 different directions with the cards that are in front of me, but something will feel so specific in those cards and I'll say it and it will freak them out because it's so specific, right? I remember one time I was reading in Kensington Market in Toronto. Outside, there was like a street fair. I was reading outside a friend's store there and a young woman sat down. She never had tarot before. She just saw me sitting there. She sat down and I can't remember the full layout of her cards, but one of them was the Queen of Cups. And as soon as I saw the Queen of Cups, I don't know. I was just like, you've had a massive falling out with a friend. And so you two used to be really close. You're not close anymore. And this person is not going to, this relationship is not going to come back in the way you want it to. So I said, you have to let this go, even though it's very painful. And I don't know, again, you know, I just looked at that Queen of Cups and that was what came up for me, but Queen of Cups can mean so many things.
Yeah.
This girl was just like, how did you know? Right?
Yeah.
How did I know? That's the thing I cannot explain, because on a regular day, I don't walk around calling myself a psychic. And that's my preference, right? That's not a judgment against people who do. Mm-hmm. I do think that I'm a perceptive person and, you know, there are things that I tend to see sometimes in other situations or in other people, or a sense that I get around, you know, whether something's going to work out, whether something is going to be a good idea, whether I could really trust someone. I tend to be right. When I get feelings like that, but I don't get feelings like that about everything. You know, yeah. I don't have that all the time. I don't have that about every decision I'm making or every person I'm meeting. Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, and so I don't know, that's the tricky thing. Right? Something strange happens when you read cards, but I also think that the odds of those uncanny moments happening become a lot higher when you really truly understand the cards well enough to not have to think about what they mean anymore, because then you're really opening yourself up for that kind of stream of consciousness to come through. To have more space for those types of psychic or intuitive moments, for lack of a better term. That's what I've noticed in my own development. I know that when I was still really learning tarot, that I wanted those things to happen and they weren't happening because I was so caught up in kind of thinking, okay, it's Eight of Pentacles and Eight of Pentacles means this and this.
Yeah.
And then I have Two of Swords. Oh, I bet I can't remember what the Two of Swords means. And you know, all, you know, you kind of go back and forth with yourself when you're learning, right? But the more confident I got with how to read the cards, the more things just naturally flowed.
I love that. And it brings me to something I wanted to talk about, which is that, so if we lump tarot into sort of, for lack of a better word, like new age spirituality, right? As one of the tools within the spectrum of things of divination. And it's not new. I mean, you know, what's the earliest we go back to the late 1400s? I think that's when that first deck, the first full deck that we have. But, you know, it's this sort of unregulated field because we use language. We have strong methodologies for how we understand things scientifically. You know, there's like rigorous structures in place to make things happen. And then, you know, and then we have like, give me some money and I'm going to tell you some things about your life. Right. And I find, you know, as somebody who reads cards for other people, like a lot of the work that I've done has been on how to stay really ethical so that, because I know that, you know, there is a side that is maybe slightly devious. And now I have never run into anybody who is sort of being shitty and just like taking people's money and is a bit of a sham. And maybe there aren't. Maybe that's like people who didn't get the reading that they wanted, or people who are like, well, I don't know what they're talking about. None of that was true. But we do end up in this sort of unregulated area, which, you know, and I know you've talked about ethics a lot because I get your newsletter and I read a lot of things that you write. And that go like this again, going into this sort of unregulated world, sort of leads me into the latest difficult topic of conversation, which is within the sort of magic, spiritual, new age world, COVID and the vaccine, right? And I just want everyone to know that I asked for Liz's permission ahead of time to talk about this because I know it's a really sticky topic and I've run into some difficult conversations online about this. But so that leads us to talking about freedom of religion and spiritual belief, which is something that's, you know, upheld within our Constitution and is something really important. And we're also getting into this strange place of misinformation being spread rapidly through the internet about the vaccine by what I see a lot as the spiritual community of, and it is making a lot of people second guess their choices going forward as to whether or not they're going to get a vaccine or how they're going to deal with COVID, or if there's some kind of conspiracy and who can you trust, et cetera, et cetera. And I wonder if you care to comment on that in terms of what you've encountered and what we, you know, as people who are part of this community, you know, how much responsibility do we have of, I don't know, arguing with people when we see stuff come up that we don't agree with, you know, sort of an open-ended question, but it's mostly just an open door for discussion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am a fully vaccinated person. I believe in the vaccines. I trust scientists. I'm super into leaving the experts in these fields to do their work. And I have no fucking idea how vaccines work. And I'm okay with that because I'm trusting that I don't know how any of the medicine works that I take. So yeah. That's my background. That's where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm one of those people, I would get vaccinated for everything if I could. You know, I hate getting sick. I like being in control. And getting sick means you're not in control. You have a virus. It has to run its course. Can't do much about it once you've got it. I don't like that. I don't like, you know, if I could be a robot, I would absolutely be a robot. Bodies are really unreliable. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. I'm really into health, and fitness. And you know, again, getting sick just gets in the way of everything. You have plans, you got to cancel them. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't. What plans? Them. Have you had any plans? Are people making plans?
You know, can't, it's just anything you want to do. I just want to feel as good as possible all the time. So if there is something that I can take that will prevent me from getting someone else's virus, cool, I'll take everything. I've always been like that. I think that there's a challenge that we're in right now where we've had several generations that have really benefited from vaccines, and we're, mm-hmm. we're far enough removed from memory, because human memory is very short. Generational memory is very short, and we're far enough removed to really remember what life was like before any vaccines existed. Right now we're seeing what the world is like without a vaccine. I personally don't like it. I think a lot of people would like to just wind back the clock and you know, start over again in late 2019 before anything was going on like this.
Yeah.
But we can't do that. And this is, you know, this is the reality that viruses spread among people. And I don't think that we like to think about ourselves as an organism. We like to think about ourselves as individuals, but we're not. You know, we are all connected, and in the spiritual community, we often talk about being at one with nature. We talk about being at one with each other. We talk about being in community, but there's a divide right now between freedom of choice and what people perceive as their freedom and their individual rights. And that's coming up against the reality that we are a community. We do rely on each other, unless you are living completely off the grid in the middle of nowhere. You can't go a single day without relying on another human being for things that you enjoy and things that you require. And anytime that we are coming into contact with each other, there's always going to be a risk of spreading some kind of illness, right? COVID, mm-hmm. a cold, a flu, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of our reality, right? Illnesses are out there. Vaccines are a solution. I've talked about this before over the past year and a half, because I've often been surprised at the crossover between spirituality and conspiracy theories, or conspirituality is the term that they're calling it now. And mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that when I first, you know, when I first got into tarot, I had no idea that it was like that. It was once I really started getting deeper into this culture, this subculture, that I noticed that there is a lot of crossover, and it's not just to do with vaccines and COVID. It's been there for a long time. And I am all for a good conspiracy theory. UFOs, cool. I'll talk about UFOs all day long. That stuff's amazing. I love the X-Files. You know, all those things I think are really interesting. And there are real conspiracy theories out there, right? There are.
Yeah, like, you know, people, like, the government is not trustworthy. Like, you know, I'm not. There are lots of reasons to not completely trust everything that comes across your field of vision.
Sure. Sure. Yes. And, you know, there's a great documentary. I think everyone should watch it. It just came out. It's called In the Same Breath by Nanfu Wang, who's a Chinese American documentary filmmaker. And she did a documentary about COVID, and she was in Wuhan when the outbreak started. And she talked about how some people were arrested for, quote unquote, spreading rumors online about a pneumonia that was circulating. Mm. You know, that's a cover up, right? When governments start to suppress people's warnings mm-hmm. that there is a virus out there that is deadly and that people need to watch out for, that is a conspiracy theory, right? I think that where people sometimes get mixed up with what they worry about and focus on is they create conspiracy theories that I don't think truly exist. And those end up being distractions from the real issues that are there. There's been a lot of talk about downplaying COVID, right? That this is just a cold, just a flu, that it's being mm-hmm. overblown, that the numbers are not accurate.
That your natural immunity
that natural immunity will take care of it, which obviously, you know, millions of people have died. Their natural immunity did not take care of it. We're seeing mm-hmm. the reality of this virus. And I think that instead of distracting ourselves from stories that we're creating, and there's a lot of them, right? I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard that the COVID vaccine, you know, enables time travel. I've heard that
I can also verify that I have not traveled through time. I would love to, actually. Yeah. If I could, I would 100% do that.
Right?
Yeah. I'd go back. I'd go forward. I don't know. Either way.
Why would you not want the vaccine?
we should pitch that to public health. Hey, listen, this isn't working anymore, but here's what you should do.
Here's the microchip conspiracy theory that's been around forever about vaccines, right? People have been saying that for years. There are, you know, I'm trying to think of other ones. I don't need to go off and list them all, there's all these things that are out there. And, you know, my question for people who are thinking of these things is, what if this virus is actually 10 times worse than you're hearing in the news because they don't want to freak you out about it, right? Because the government is, you know, sometimes needing to keep things going, right? We need to keep the economy going. We need to keep morale up, you know, not that I want to freak people out, but I just think that this is something that we do need to take seriously. And it's really easy to get caught up in distractions, right? When we start to tell ourselves that we personally seem to, you know, have some kind of better answer than the reality that we're facing. In the spiritual community, you know, there's been a lot of talk that I've heard that this is the beginning of some kind of ascension that we're all going through, that we're moving into the fifth dimension.
Oh, is that the 5G?
The 5G thing. Yeah. 5G, 5D, ugh, who knows? There's, you know, and I've heard this from several people. And, you know, those things concern me a lot because my work, for what I see, is my personal mandate with tarot, and what I think probably many of my peers would agree with, is that you know, my work isn't about escaping reality, it's about helping people become closer to reality. So I get concerned when I see people in the spiritual community start to talk about other dimensions in a way as though we're actually going to them. We cannot move on to another dimension until we take care of the dimension that we're in. Right. And this is, again, we need to be closer to reality. We're not trying to escape from it. So I've never been part of this camp that is trying to go off into some other place. You know, I'm not trying to ascend anything here. I think that we have, you know, we have bodies for a reason. We're here in this, and, you know, on this earthly plane for a reason. This is what we've signed up to all move through and experience together. So this is what we have to deal with, and we have to, you know, to heal ourselves here and look out for each other here and not worry about what's going on in some other dimension, right? I just, for me, I have a hard time getting there because I've spent so much time as a tarot reader really helping people not to use these tools as a way to bypass reality. And that's what I see a lot with the conspiracy theories.
Is that this is
a bypass of reality, and I'm just not there.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. And it's that was a really great summary. I appreciate, you know, all of your insight and input there. And I love the fact that, you know, you mentioned we use tarot cards to help us here. Like here, where we are dealing with everything that's around us. And if we're only looking at the ephemeral, or if we're only looking at the things that we can sort of perceive, I just think there's so much room for creating an alternative to the here and now. It's almost like the same reason people, you know, take drugs, or, you know, like drink. It's like an escape from the difficulties that we're facing. And, like, you know, I get it. But it always seems to me like there's like a lone wolf sort of syndrome. Nobody else understands it but me. And also, just as escapism. in which case you can sort of just, you know, you can say whatever you want. And that, I think, is where things get tricky. And that's why, that's where I think, you know, in terms of the structures that we've decided unilaterally to live within in this world, there's nothing within religion or spirituality or magic that, you know, matches that. And so in that case, there's just sort of this like free for all, and you have to sort of really use your tools to be able to figure out what you agree with and what is, as you say, not helpful, or what is distracting from reality of like us living here right now and dealing with the world.
Yes. And there's, you know, there, I've spoken a bit about these things in the past year and a half, as I mentioned, and I've had some blowback from people where there's a school of thought again in the spiritual community at large, where if you can't see, right, you can't see behind the veil of what vaccines really are, or you can't see that COVID is, you know, what people believe is a hoax or not real, or that this is the beginning of moving into a fifth dimension, or whatever someone, you know, whatever the narrative is that someone else is trying to push, they'll criticize you and say, you know, how dare you, how dare you call yourself a tarot reader? You know, how can you, you can't be very good at what you do if you don't have the ability to see beyond this veil and see beyond this illusion, right? They believe that there's this illusion that we're all in. And, you know, I say, you know, like, I don't care. I really don't care. You know, those comments don't hurt me, but they, again, they concern me, because I think that there are always new people coming into this community, and I could see that being taken to heart by someone. And I could see someone perhaps really questioning their own sense of perception if they heard that from someone that maybe they really looked up to, or someone that they wanted, that they were being influenced by. And I think that we need to be mindful that those ideas are out there, but again, they're not, you know, they're not true and they're not accurate. And people, what people often don't understand about me is that I do have a journalism background. And when you have a journalism background, you have to learn about, again, how to report on reality and how to engage with it. People think that media is made up of lies, and that journalists all have these biases and agendas, and there's a big conspiracy there too, right? That the media is just controlled by the government. In some countries it is. You know, here in Canada, it is not. So, you know, I have had a lot of training around what you can and can't say, not only in a newspaper or a magazine, but online. You cannot make things up. I cannot make things up. I have been trained not to make things up. I'm still again actively involved as a writer, and I still write for newspapers and other publications. Sometimes I have a reputation that I need to protect, and I need to be credible, and I cannot go online and make things up. I can't spread conspiracies. I can't spread lies. I can't spread misinformation. But other people out there don't have that same kind of training. They don't have that same kind of media savvy. They don't know, again, what sometimes the extent of what they're saying, or the extent of what kind of information they're taking in. And so those things concern me too. You know, you can tell me that I'm a bad tarot reader because I don't believe we're going into the fifth dimension. Fine. I'm still not going to change my mind. I don't think we're going to the fifth dimension. Sorry. You know, sorry, not sorry. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, but I think that, again, you know, we've had pandemics throughout the course of human history. We'll have them again. They've never brought us into another dimension. This one is not going to be any different. But you can make fun of me. You can call me names. You can criticize me for getting vaccinated, for wanting my friends to get vaccinated, my family to get vaccinated. But the reality is that that still doesn't give anyone else the right to talk about things that they don't truly understand, or report on information they cannot verify or have proof of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of, you know, just to tie everything back together. And I've taken up so much of your time and I'm so grateful for this conversation, but it just reminds me of the High Priestess and how it's so comfy to stay with that card, right? Mm-hmm. But eventually you have to come out from that. You have to come out and have a forward facing, be in reality, come down from being the hermit. You have like, there's a comfortable place to be where you can just sort of be in like a dreamy world. And then there's coming back to reality, which is living life like in reality. Yes. And that's what reminded me of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This has been such a fabulous conversation. And I can't actually believe that all of our time, we've actually gone over time quite a bit. So I appreciate your extra time. And Liz, where can people learn more about you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is my website, lizworth.com. Pretty easy. And then I'm also quite active on Instagram, which is my handle is lizworthtarot. So you can catch me in one of those places.
Yeah. And listen, as someone who has participated in different things that you offer, I highly recommend. There was a masterclass I took a few months ago. Is it just like your introduction to tarot masterclass? Is that what it's called?
Was it a webinar? I have a couple of different masterclasses. I should create a different name for them so that I can tell them apart.
It was a webinar. It was a webinar. Okay, and it changed how I do my daily reads because amazing. Now I read three cards.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's, yes, that is my Five Pillars, Powerful Tarot Readings. And that is a free webinar that people can join on my website. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. I love that one. If anyone's looking for an introduction. Oh yeah. No, it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Liz. And I look forward to continuing to learn from you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You know, one of the things that's been really difficult about COVID is the disagreements that can happen about what it is, what we should do about it, especially among close friends and peers within certain communities. So I really appreciate Liz coming on and talking about that. Listen, she is the real deal. Go and check out her stuff, lizworth.com. She's on Instagram and Twitter at lizworthtarot. She is also coming to Kingston to the Kingston Tarot Lenormand Conference from March 4th to 6th, 2022. I'll put some details about that in the show notes. As for me, I am Megan Hamilton. I'm your host. I really appreciate you being here. All the music that you're hearing is my own, and you can find out where to stream it in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and go and hit subscribe, leave some stars if you like what you hear, or a comment, and we'll see you soon.